Sports.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris in the Paracast, we're learning an aspect of paranormal research that isn't too friendly, that possibly repeated exposure can be harmful. We should all wear radiation suits then?
Well, at least lead underwear. Lead-lined underwear. You know, David, I came up with an idea to protect cell phone users when they're carrying around their cell phones. Of course, we lost Philip Copens to galloping angina sarcoma. And some of his friends wonder if carrying two cell phones, one in one breast pocket and one in the other for several years, may have contributed to his very unfortunate and untimely demise of an extremely rare form of cancer. And he was known to have two cell phones, one in each breast pocket, walking around, one for his girlfriend, one for the rest of his life. And he was diagnosed and we lost him in, I think, 6 weeks. So I've come up with an idea. A very thin lead lining around a cell phone carrying case so that you can isolate, at least on the backside against the body, you can isolate the somehow shield the body from the electromagnetic radiation that these things put out.
You know, of course, if you look at the specs for a mobile handset, they actually do have radiation measurements that are required by the FCC in the United States. But I can't begin to say how much is too much. I'll just say that I do occasionally keep my iPhone in my pocket. When I go in my car, I stick it on one of the seats or I stick it in the center console. I use hands-free. I very rarely put that thing next to my ear.
Oh, I never stick it up to my head. Where do you come down on cell phones, David, being someone who's got a background in science, deals with these types of energetic scenarios? Do you put a cell phone up next to your head?
Oh, yeah, I've done it before. It's a different kind of radiation, guys. It's a much lower frequency radiation than gamma radiation.
Well, yeah,
and you don't
the apples and oranges.
Lead. You don't need lead to block it. All you need is Mu metal. You can get a thin piece of Mu metal, which looks a little bit like a thin sheet of tin. And if you're really concerned about it, you can put that around it. But it's a different kind of radiation. Now, I'm not saying that cell phone radiation or RF radiation isn't harmful to you, because if you're exposed to anything for a long enough period, I think it's not good for you. But gamma radiation is a little different. Gamma radiation takes like 6 feet of concrete to stop, or
right,
2 inches of lead to stop.
Right.
So it's a little different kind of thing.
Yeah, it's apples and oranges.
The aluminum hats don't work, you know. But yeah, cell phones can definitely be dangerous if you expose yourself to them for a long period of time. I usually use a headset, like a wireless headset or that sort of thing. And I just don't sit on the phone for 3 or 4 hours.
Well, I know when I do sit on the phone, it's always hands-free, period. Very big into that. I will not drive in a car with a cell phone and use it unless there's a hands-free capability. And nowadays, even the cheapest cars, an entry-level compact or subcompact, has hands-free either standard equipment or as an option. You can buy a hands-free system for less than $100. So we recommend that. And we also recommend you don't do any paranormal research because it might be dangerous to your health. I'm kidding.
Well, you certainly should take precautions, as with anything else. It's just like if you were investigating a criminal situation and you were going in and there was someone armed and dangerous, you wouldn't go in without a gun. Well, it's the same sort of thing as with anything. You know, you should understand the dangers of the situation and be prepared for them. Unfortunately, a lot of people aren't really doing paranormal research. They are looking for ghosts. And there's a big difference in that. When you start looking at research, research is looking at every possible explanation that can occur to create the phenomena that's reported. Ghost hunting is going in simply and looking for a ghost. Well, you're going to find a ghost if you're looking for one, because that's what you're looking for, and anything you see is going to convince you that you've seen a ghost. Research is something else. We're looking for what's really going on. What's the truth? What's the 411? You know, what's happening here?
Well, the true believer will say the ghosts are spirits of the dead. Okay, it's my Uncle George. Or it's my brother Wally. My late brother Wally came back, and he's hanging out. So what's the truth. What do you think? Is it a manifestation of someone who has died or what?
I prefer to call it a disembodied consciousness. We can't really answer that question. I don't know if we ever will be able to answer that question. However, I can say that it does seem to be a consciousness. It does seem to be intelligent, and it does seem to have, you know, capabilities, and it does seem to know things that only maybe that dead person could have known. But we still can't definitively say that, yeah, it's a dead person. What I believe and what I can prove are two different things. Let me just clarify that, number one. But what it boils down to is we're dealing with something that has intelligence. We're dealing with something that's non-corporeal, so it's energy-based. We have seen signatures in the environment that look almost like a biofield in nature. So to rush to that thing and say, yeah, it's, you know, dead people, I can't say that. I mean, do I believe it could be dead people? Yeah, of course I do. There's a certain high level of anecdotal evidence that suggests that. But can I come out and say that we can prove that that's what it is? No, we can't. Having said that, there's definitely something going on. It's intelligent. It's interacting. And it's affecting people. It's affecting people both in their consciousness, and it's affecting people physically.
Well, the one question I always ask in situations like this, are we seeing this phenomenon as it really is, or are we coloring it because of our own preconditioning?
I think the answer is yes. I think there's a combination of things.
So therefore, for example, if it's my Uncle George, or I think it's my Uncle George, it's because I walk in there expecting to see my Uncle George or someone I know.
Well, you know, who can say? I think that we're pure energy. See, we have a central nervous system and a brain, and there's all this electricity running through it, all this energy of different frequencies and different pulses that are running through our body. Well, we know from the first law of thermodynamics that energy can be neither created nor destroyed. It can only be converted. So that energy has to have a conversion process, which we're not aware of any conversion process. So that energy has to propagate out somewhere and go someplace. Now, certainly, scientists will tell you, well, it just kind of goes out in all directions. But does it? You know, there seems to be a great deal of anecdotal evidence to suggest otherwise. Particularly if you start looking at, for example, I started studying near-death experiences from Dr. Raymond Moody's research. But I only concentrated on people that were dead longer than 12 minutes. Why? Because there's zero brain activity. It's flatline. So it can't be explained by oxygen deprivation because the brain is dead at that point. There's no activity at all, no electrical activity in the brain whatsoever. And yet these people come back, no brain damage, and they have all these fantastic stories to tell. But there's a common denominator, and that's that they went down this long, dark tunnel, came out in this bright light, and all their dead relatives were there. Well, if you start looking at that dark tunnel, I started thinking, gee, that's exactly what a wormhole would look like. If your consciousness or your energy was to go through that, you would experience it like you were going through this tube, like this tunnel. And that's really what got me to thinking about possibility of it being a wormhole that was creating these effects. And that's when we started specifically looking for the effects that a wormhole would have on the environment if such a thing opened. And that's when we started hitting pay dirt.
Now, let me ask you something theoretically here, or something in the sci-fi realm. Now, when we think of wormholes in the sci-fi universe, it's a way to get from one place to another.
Do
we also think in terms of so-called parallel universes, where there are multiple universes. Maybe we have another version of Gene Steinberg. I can't imagine that. That'd be terrible.
Chris O'Brien,
even worse, or David Roundtree. Another universe, and if something happens to them, we may be seeing that. Maybe we're seeing an after image of something that's going on in another reality, universe, whatever.
That's Everett's theory of the multiverse there, or the multiple worlds theory. Hugh Everett III, I guess it is. I don't buy into that theory because it's kind of impossible. Where's all this energy coming from to create all these universes just because we make a decision? I believe there is a multiverse, but I believe that this multiverse is a finite system in which, you know, one universe is feeding another while another is collapsing. In other words, the energy is being conserved throughout the multiverse, but it may be, you know, it may be inflating one universe, such as our universe is continuing to inflate, and it may be draining energy from another universe. It may be collapsing or shrinking.
We have to go into more of this in our next segment with David Roundtree. Talking with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Yeah. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified, super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled T-E-R-A-G-A-N-I-X.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, therefore, David Roundtree, you're suggesting that these various universes are feeding upon one another. They're interactive. Something happens to one that's impacted by the other.
That's exactly right. I believe that there's a multiverse because of the bruising on the cosmic microwave background. That had to happen from something outside of our universe. So I believe there is something outside our universe. I believe that we probably have multiple universes that may even occupy the same space as our own, but they resonate at a different frequency than ours does. Kind of like a TV transmission wave where you've got all kinds of information on it, and yet it's not interfering with each other and really doesn't know that the other signals are there. Like, you've got audio information, you've got high def information, you've got video information, all on a carrier wave. Well, we could have multiple parallel universes within that same spatial area, but they wouldn't interfere with one another unless certain conditions occurred. Think of the old clothesline sheet in your mom's backyard when you were growing up, where you had five clotheslines, and she would hang sheets on them. Normally, those sheets just hung there. They didn't touch. They didn't know each other was there. But if the breeze blew a little bit, suddenly they'd flap and kind of touch each other here and there, and suddenly lint from one would go to the other and vice versa. And that's kind of the thing I'm talking about here. These universes from time to time may interfere with one another. And where that interference occurs, you could have a transference of information. And the mechanics of that, of course, are up for debate. But what we're looking at seems to indicate that we have some type of Einstein-Rosen bridge activity facilitating it.
Well, we've got some pretty interesting questions from a very up-to-speed group of posters at forum.theparacast.com. And this is a good time to throw some of these questions your direction. Burnt State, one of our real active members at forum.theparacast.com, has several questions. One of them is a good one to start with here. And he asks, what are the most common features that different haunted sites have in common, like traumatic events, presence of moving water, limestone deposits, and what theories can be established based on those features? Is it somehow possible for some form of historical playback to be taking place simply because of the intensity of previous experiences taking place in these unique geological spaces? So I think he's asking, is there some sort of geophysical properties, consistencies among them?
Yeah, it sounds like he's subscribing to the stones have memory theory, which has not a single shred of evidence to support it whatsoever, other than, you know, fantasy.
Residual hauntings, in other words?
Yeah, what I think a residual haunting is literally the Einstein-Rosen bridge is, instead of connecting two places in space, it's connecting two places in time, and you're literally seeing a historical event on the holographic boundary of that wormhole. And the reason there's no interaction is because they don't see us. We're seeing them through this tube, like a telescope that's looking back in time. I've looked at all of those notions, and really there's zero scientific evidence to back up any of it. There is, however, theoretical evidence to back up that an Einstein-Rosen bridge could actually connect two places in time. The whole concept of time travel revolves around utilizing wormholes to do that. It's a shortcut in time. But what I believe is happening in a residual haunting is you're literally looking at a historical event take place based on your physical location in reference to the opening of that wormhole, that funnel that opens up, the throat of it. If you're in the right position, it's kind of like being in front of a big flat screen TV. If you're off to the side, you really don't see it very well, but if you're straight in front of it, you see it extraordinarily well. And I think it has to do with your location versus the actual throat opening and its, you know, orientation to the observer. But as far as, you know, going back to trauma and things like this that happen, statistically, hospitals tend to have a lot of activity because there's a lot of births and deaths. And I think the same thing that brings the consciousness into the body is what takes the consciousness out of the body. I think wormholes are probably responsible for delivering our consciousness to the fetus, and I think wormholes are responsible for taking us away. If that's the case, then places where you have a lot of births and deaths are going to be active. Place where you had a lot of deaths are going to be active because a lot of wormhole formation occurred there. So places like asylums where you had large groups of people that were sick and that died, places like hospitals, infirmaries, battlefields, places where there was a lot of death tend to be very active. But it's not limited to that. People that have just normal homes that have had maybe a person die there have activity. So it's not cut and dry to say that you have to have these prerequisites for something to happen, because we don't even know what happened on the land before the house was built. There's so many different aspects that could be contributing factors to it. And, you know, there's really no way to check all those historically.
Yeah, I agree. And you're using the term wormhole, I understand, as kind of a familiar term. I think, however, if you really look at the whole concept of wormholes, I mean, they are still theoretical to a greater or lesser degree, at least to my knowledge. And to use this particular term, I think, is going to create some controversy among people that are fairly open-minded but healthily skeptical. Because
not if we can produce evidence that it exists.
That's what I was getting to. It sounds like you're well on your way to establish this term as a workable, testable hypothesis, which, of course, is the primary tenet of the scientific method. Why don't you go into a little bit more detail about your particular wormhole theory, and then we can get to some more questions.
Well, essentially what we think is happening is these wormholes are forming between our universe and an adjacent universe. And the only reason we're coming to this conclusion is based off the data, based off of what is happening in the environment, and then trying to come up with a scientific explanation to explain why. And in physics, we're very limited to explain all of these things that are occurring. For example, Tom has come up with an idea that these bubbles are occurring that are allowing this interdimensionality bleed-through kind of thing to happen, which interestingly would cause a pretty similar effect to what a wormhole would cause if it was forming. Because what's happening is we've got a localized bending of time-space. That's what we're seeing. That's what's happening. There's only so many things that can cause a localized bending of time-space. We're also looking at phenomena that is local with a non-local source. Again, that eliminates a lot of things in physics to be the cause. There's only a couple of things that could cause this sort of thing and still be in the realm of either known or theoretical science. And that's what we're looking at. And these are the two mechanisms. I mean, Tom's mechanism and my mechanism that we're both defending would literally have the same symptoms in the environment. So we are, of course, at loggerheads as to who's right. But up until the point of what the physical cause is, we're in total agreement as to what we're encountering. I mean, his theory makes the same predictions mine do. But essentially, this conduit forms. And it forms as long as it's held stable by the supporting exotic matter for a wormhole. And once the wormhole depletes to a point where it's no longer stable, the wormhole collapses.
This show's going to collapse if I don't do this break. David Roundtree joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you. Has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. 866-229-0927. Or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on big pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
I normally do not get laughter when I do a segue. This is such a rare occasion, I will savor the moment. Okay, David Roundtree, let me ask you something before Chris gets back to the questions from our listeners. Okay, this wormhole, is in science fiction, we think of it as a way to get from one place to another, jump to another portion of the galaxy, for example. Is this right. Something that scientifically we can recreate and use?
That's what we're looking at. I mean, the type of wormhole that we are encountering is not something that would allow physical matter to pass through. So you're not in danger of being sucked away by it or actually transported to another area. All that's happening here is information is emerging from it. In the form of energy, in the form of different types of energy. But there are theoretical wormholes that would allow physical, transportation through. And like a Lorentzian wormhole, for example. But
you'll have to tell our listeners what that means.
Well, it just means it's a type of wormhole that supports, you know, matter and energy to be able to pass through it, to be able to transmit through it.
It would take an incredible amount of energy to create something like that, though, wouldn't it?
Not if the universe it came from was pure energy.
Good point.
I mean, our universe is based off energy and matter. What if the adjacent universe is based off pure energy? I mean,
then there'd be an abundance of energy.
Absolutely. I mean, and if there was this adjacent universe based on pure energy, well, what would that do for us for needing energy?
Yeah, but why does it pick some dusty old house and show up and scare people?
Oh, I think these things open up around us all the time, and we just don't notice them because they're at a Planck level. Even Hawking says that. He says that wormholes open up around us all the time. We just don't notice them because they're at a subatomic level. The difference is what we're noticing is these aren't subatomic. They're fairly large, a couple meters in diameter and area of effect. So we're definitely looking at a quantum effect at a macro level, and we are getting quantum physicists to start looking at it with interest. We are seeing them look at this stuff and say, hey, why is this happening? That's exactly what we need. We need money thrown at it.
Yeah.
The only way, of course, to do that is to get empirical science to be interested in it. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to take it and bait, you know, these physicists and say, hey, we'll explain this, you know. And they're like scratching their head going, we'll try this. And then we come back and say, well, we tried that, and this is what we got. And then they go, we'll try that, you know. And it's kind of like the name game. Nobody really wants to commit, and yet they're all very interested.
Right, and they show up. They show up at your haunted site with Groucho glasses and with the nose
exactly.
And the mustache.
Well, that has to be a purpose for those Google glasses, right?
That's right. Okay.
Yeah, or the Guy Fawkes mask. You know, this brings up a couple of good points. You know, you notice that these ghost shows exclusively hunt for ghosts at night, and.
Yeah,
and that's an interesting question from Joey K22. He goes, my exposure to ghost hunters comes mainly via television programs, so excuse my ignorance on the topic. However, why do ghost hunts usually take place at night? If there's an apparition, why would the paranormal activity only take place at night? And that's a really valid question.
Yeah, of course. It's drama. It sells cornflakes. There's no reason in the world to do it at night. What we do is we try to reduce the background EMF in the environment when we do an investigation. So if we are there in the evening simply because people work in the daytime, we lower the light, but we don't turn off all the lights and bump around in the dark and tear their furniture up. We work with maybe a lamp on in each room or something that's kind of low wattage. And we're also using, you know, traps to remove 60 hertz from our data set. So we're not picking that up at all.
That's a biggie.
And yeah, but it's basically drama. Some activity occurs 24/7. You know, people may not notice it as much in the daytime because there's all these other things interfering with their attention span.
Right.
You don't have to do it at night. You don't have to do it in the dark. In fact, some of the best data we've caught in the daytime at Fort Mifflin. And in a bunker, like in, you know, like an ammo bunker, a powder bunker. So, I mean, it happens 24/7. There's no rhyme or reason to it occurring. It has kind of a random repetition and it occurs day or night.
But you implied there's some sort of attempt at controlling it.
Well, there seems to be some type of intelligence behind its deployment. And don't take me wrong. I mean, I don't think there's somebody sitting behind a big machine pushing a button doing it. But there just seems to be a certain intelligence about it.
And there's also a tricksterish quality as well. Exactly.
The fact that you can leave one room and then all the activity occurs where you were.
Exactly.
Where you're at now and you have to go back. Yeah, there's a certain amount of intelligence involved in it. Or what seems to be a certain amount of intelligence involved.
And playfulness, actually, in some,
exactly.
one sense of the word. Which then suggests a more tricksterish type agenda, perhaps maybe operative. Well, here's a question, another question from Burnt State, which is a good one. And this is one of the types of this phenomena that have been studied the most, and that is the poltergeist phenomenon. And he wants to know if there are any commonalities to be found in the witnesses and experiences of ghostly and poltergeist phenomena. Are these phenomena tied to teenagers, people who have suffered personal trauma in the past, or to individuals who are having very complicated personal experiences, psychological issues, as seen in famous poltergeist cases? That's a good question. Where do you draw the line? And is there a latent ability amongst some individuals to manipulate psychokinetically their environment?
Definitely. My dear old departed friend, Dr. William Roll, who was probably the foremost authority on poltergeist,
right,
did associate puberty. You know, teens going through puberty with poltergeist activity in about 85% of the situations, and probably could have done it more had he had supporting data to do that. You know, I work studying mediums and how the medium mechanic works as well. And it's a very similar process. Mediums literally are getting emerging information that only, they're like a biological television set.
Yeah.
They have a higher level of magnetite in their brain. And somehow or another, that allows them to receive this information and decode it. I can literally see the information, what it looked like, coming into the environment. I can't translate it. I can't tell you what it says. They can when they get it. When they receive that information, it makes sense to them. They see things in their head, whatever.
Yeah.
But the mechanic of how that happens is the same effect and the same mechanic. It's what happens during a haunting when you have a paranormal effect occur. So the mechanics are the same. It's just smaller scale. So do I believe people can manipulate it? Absolutely. I've seen them do it. I've actually watched information emerge, and they begin talking and giving off information. And when the information stopped, they stopped. Now, there was no way they could have known that I was watching it and the information stopped
right
when they stopped. You know what I'm saying? It was a controlled situation.
Yeah, we've had poltergeist or rather EVP sessions where some sort of disincarnate information, voice, whatever you want to call it, actually answered the question a split second before the question was asked, which I find the interesting time dilation aspect present in some of these, I guess, research trips that I've been on and helping film and assist that. I'm no professional by any stretch of the imagination, but I must say there's a huge upsurge in interest in these subjects out in the population, and it seems like every town has their own ghost hunting crew, and it's getting to the point where there's a lot of just completely untrained people running around kind of mimicking their TV heroes out there, and I think the quality of investigation is suffering as a result of a lack of scientific training and background.
We have a disincarnate announcement right now coming up, I'm sure. David Roundtree joins Gene and Chris. Here is a closer with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on our distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapria e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapria e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapria e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriot at LaCig.com or call 870-525-1440, 870-525-1440. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey Guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products, most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
You have all seen and heard about the elements of the periodic table. These elements are the building blocks of everything in the universe. You, my friends, are made from these elements. A shortage of any of these important trace elements can lead to disease. Go with the science and take the Lady Talk Health Challenge and get all 90 essential trace elements with a healthy start pack at LadyTalkLive.com or call 855-333-LADY. That's 855-333-5239.
Research shows it's not just what you put in your body that counts, it's what you put on it as well. Why not use an all-natural, healthy mineral-based makeup that actually benefits your skin? Once you experience the airiness and flawless coverage of Youngevity mineral makeup, you will never use anything else. With Youngevity, the perception of your complexion will be natural perfection. Animal-friendly mineral makeup at Mary Lou Health. That's MariLouHealth.com. Or call 855-321-HEALTH.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
We're going to evaluate that on a scale of 1 to minus 1. And I won't even presume to guess which it will be with Gene and Chris. David Roundtree is summoning up his inner wormhole. Now, earlier in the show, I just want to go back to this. You talk about intelligence. Does that mean when these apparitions do their thing, they know full well what they're doing and why they're doing it?
It certainly seems indicative of that. There certainly seems to be a lot of evidence that there is intelligence behind it, yeah.
Well, we always want to know if there is intelligent life on Earth.
Yeah, well, we're still wondering that, right?
We're still wondering. Chris, some more questions?
I think a poltergeist got a hold of my mute button.
Right. They do not want you to speak. Therefore, you should speak more.
Okay, here's a good one. This is a case that always fascinated me, and it's the case of Don Decker, the Rain Boy of Pennsylvania. This question comes from Stagger Lee, who's one of our newer posters here at forum.theparacast.com. And he asks, are you familiar with the case of Don Decker, the Rain Boy of Pennsylvania, where it was witnessed by many people, including the police who were called in, that this young man would go into a trance and make it rain indoors, and that the rain defied physics, and that it could rain up, down, sideways? This case started right after Don attended the funeral of his grandfather, who was his lifelong abuser. If familiar with this case, what are your thoughts?
Man, you know, where do you guys get this stuff?
It's actually a pretty well-known case.
We have quite a group of listeners also who come up with questions that we have no idea where they get from.
I don't even know how to answer that.
The Pennsylvania Rain Boy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know how to address that. I mean, you know.
Maybe he had hyper tear ducts or something.
Yeah. I'm kind of an environmental specialist. You know, I look at an environment. I try to determine how that environment should be normal. And when it's not normal, I try to find an answer for it. I mean, I could speculate on all this stuff, but it would be pure speculation. So what would be the point? I mean, I could give you my best guess or something like that. But, you know, I don't like to go there. I prefer to talk about what I know about and what I can, you know, demonstrate from my own research and from my own experience. So some questions I just don't answer, you know. Because somebody will say, you know, that Dave, he said such and such, you know. It'll come back and haunt me at some point.
Yeah, you better be careful. Some of our listeners may bilocate and start haunting your
I'm sure.
Yeah, here. Get your instrument and check this out.
Yeah, really. I can say one thing. There's certainly a human element involved in everything that we do. And I will say that the observer effect that we mentioned, which is in quantum mechanics, like, you know, the wave particle duality thing, you know, it could be either or until
right.
physical act of
the
measuring.
Copenhagen interpretation of the Heisenberg uncertainty principle.
Yes, or Schrodinger's cat. But anyway, certainly there's a human element, and there's also this thing called the human intent, which the peer research lab at Princeton spent 10 years researching, and who now currently Dr. Lynn McTaggart is doing seed growth experimentation with human intent. The human intent is a very powerful thing. It's very documented. There's something to it. So we affect things. How much of it is the human element? How much of it is something else? That remains to be seen. I think both aspects are involved in it. It's one of the reasons why we wire our own people when we're doing work. It's one of the reasons why we're looking at how the human element occurs, how it affects the data we get. There's definitely a human element here in the equation.
Yeah.
How powerful.
Well, there's
that
an interactive
be.
Nature to it. If a ghost haunts a house and nobody's there to see it, is it there?
Yeah, we don't know. Yeah, exactly.
You know, so you have to have the observer in order for the manifestation to be observed. Is basically what you're saying. So there is that interactive quality. Well, one of the things that I found, I've done quite a number of unexplained livestock death investigative work over the years, and one of the things I found early on is one of my best approaches in terms of arriving on a scene where one of these animals has been targeted and disfigured, is to bring a working dog with me and allow the dog to be the first one introduced to the site. How do you feel about animals and interactions with some of these haunted sites using a biosensor such as a trained dog? Or I know of someone that brings a parrot that has a limited vocabulary to haunted sites, and when it gets around some of these energies that you're describing, the thing develops all these words and can string them together, which I find very, very intriguing. Where do you come down on using biosensors like animals?
Well, how do you correlate it? I mean, how do you quantify it? I mean, who trained a dog to sniff a ghost?
Well,
you know,
having trained dogs, I can, and horses, actually, I can envision some possible ways to go about it.
That would assume that you had a ghost to use as bait in the first place.
Right. It wouldn't be easy, that's for sure. Obviously, with the actual cattle deaths, there's thousands of pounds of physical evidence that you have at your disposal to work with the animal. But, you know, I do often wonder, like, sometimes I'll see my cat looking around the room, and then it'll be, like, following something around the room, and there's nothing there. And then it'll freak out and run away. Or I've had dogs, like a friend of mine's dog one time, all of a sudden just freaked out and just started quivering and shaking like it was in a place of fear for no reason. And totally out of character for the animal.
Sure. Do animals have an extended sensory range than humans? Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
They see visually further into the light spectrum than we do. They hear into the audio spectrum more than we do. Who knows what their actual sensory makeup is, what they may sense, you know, as far as, you know, that sort of thing. We don't know. My problem with doing it is certainly it's good subjective evidence to observe an animal and how the animal reacts, but how do you quantify that data-wise? Well, the animal acted weird. I mean, it doesn't really demonstrate anything.
Well, it doesn't demonstrate anything, but it can also be a form of validation. If you could train the dog to be extra aware when your equipment's starting to spike, and if you do that repetition enough, that dog will pick up on what it is that you're asking it to you know, be aware
maybe.
of.
Maybe, Maybe it also may be sensing the equipment itself. You know, so, you know, that's what I mean by quantifying it. How do you quantify it? We can't. We can't really quantify it.
Yeah.
We can, well, we can draw some conclusions.
That was a question from Blowfish. I just wanted to throw it at you.
Sure. I mean, I think it's anecdotal evidence that goes along with everything else, but you still need hard data to go with it.
Yeah. Well, Blowfish also wants to know, besides the animals and the possibility of them being a little bit finer tuned than we are for certain things, certain energies, what's your best ghost story?
Oh, my God.
I'm sure you get that one a lot.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like ghost is such a weird term because it covers so many different phenomena things, you know.
Well, what's the most impressive manifestation that you have seen while out in the field?
I think probably the coolest thing I saw was I watched a room fill up with a violet mist. Like it started from a little dot, like up near the ceiling, and then it just kind of, it was like a fog. It just kind of filled the whole room with this like purple fog, and then it smelled like lilac perfume, and then it just kind of dissipated. And there was absolutely no explanation for it whatsoever. I mean, literally, you know, how did that just happen? And it had to emerge. It had to emerge into the environment, and then it dissipated. And like I said, it had a smell like old-fashioned lilac toilet water, like your grandmother used to wear.
Well, how does energy manifest in an olfactory sense? I'm confused here. If there's no mass, then how could you have a smell?
Well, are you familiar with Dr. Michael Persinger's work?
Some, yeah. His brain helmet and stuff.
Yeah, stimulating different aspects of the brain. You can taste steak without eating. You can smell all kinds of different things.
Well, you know what? That's a good way to have a meal and not gain any weight, isn't that
exciting? Absolutely.
David Roundtree joining Gene and Chris. We're not going to starve to death. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95, on sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu-fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.